Unnamed Temeraire Ficlet, written by Henry II Official, read by Goddamn Shiny Rock. Summary: Lawrence makes an unwelcome discovery. Author's notes: Warning, contains minor spoilers for Book 7, and, no plot or redeeming value whatsoever. As the voyage to South America progressed, Lawrence found that the long hours of idleness on board the Allegiance had left him increasingly preoccupied with the issue of Emily and Damane. The incident in Sydney continued to prey on his mind. While the addition of a chaperone to their crew was certainly a comfort, the fact that he had felt the action necessary at all made him worry, and that perhaps he had not done enough to instill respectable standards of behavior in his charges. "I do not mean to moralize unnecessarily," Lawrence confessed to Granby that evening, when the two of them were alone in his cabin, and Lawrence felt comfortable enough to broach the topic over a bottle of wine and an offhand game of cards. "But I cannot help but worry that they will make themselves a subject of unwelcome gossip, whether or not anything should happen to them. They are neither of them particularly discreet, I am sorry to say." "Well, I shouldn't let it worry you too much," Granby said thoughtfully. "The Corps has always been a hive for gossip, so there's not much hope avoiding it in anyone's case." "Really?" said Lawrence, surprised. He had not found aviators to be particularly talkative himself, certainly not more than any other branch of the service. "Oh, it's a long-standing tradition, I'm afraid. We're all boxed in together with only each other and our dragons, after all. It's little wonder everyone knows everyone's business. Sometimes, rather more intimately than we might like," he added, with a slightly haunted look that Lawrence immediately understood and did not inquire into. Life on board a ship had made him privy to certain details about his fellow officers that he could have gladly gone his entire life without knowing. "In any case," Granby continued, visibly recalling himself to the conversation at hand, "it's nothing worth concerning yourself about. Romantic gossip is common enough that no one pays it any serious thought, and we don't tend to share it with outsiders." "I see," said Lawrence, still somewhat taken aback by this intelligence. I confess I hadn't noticed anything of the kind." He frowned a little. He could not say he was sorry to be left out of such talk, but the implication that he might still be considered an outsider stung rather more than it ought. Granby gave him an amused look over his glass. "That's probably because you rather give the impression that if someone were to ask you an impertinent question about the Admiral, you'd knock them down." "Well," said Lawrence, unable to deny this. Not that he particularly wished to. He might have bent respectability enough to engage in intimate activities with an unmarried officer, but he would have sooner lit himself on fire than dishonor her by discussing those activities with anyone else. If such a reputation barred him from indecent gossip, he could only be grateful for it. "I suppose you're confident in Roland's discretion, then, if someone were to ask her something similar about you?" Granby asked, when Lawrence had said as much. "Of course," said Lawrence, looking at him in surprise. Roland was, if perhaps not entirely ladylike by some standards, still a woman of character and surely above such talk. "In any case," he added, "I certainly can't imagine why anyone should want to ask her anything of the sort." Granby raised his eyebrows. He opened his mouth to speak, then closed it again, as if gauging whether or not he really wanted to continue this line of conversation. After a moment, he said, "Lawrence, I think perhaps you are forgetting that there are female aviators in the Corps." Lawrence was nonplussed. "Well, of course, but surely, that is, women do not discuss those sorts of things. Do they?" he asked, abruptly uncertain. The idea had not previously occurred to him. Granby only shrugged, unhelpfully. "I'm sure I don't know, but I can't see why not," Granby said. "I know Roland has dinner with Saint-Germain whenever they're both in the area. They came up together in the service. From what I've heard, I don't imagine they have many secrets from one another. And I do see her talking privately with Harcourt on some nights." Lawrence received these disturbing revelations with a rising sense of dread. At this last piece of intelligence, he took an involuntary drink. "Oh, come on, Lawrence," Granby said, perhaps attempting to be comforting. The corner of his mouth was quirking suspiciously, but his tone was not unkind. Roland is a professional, after all. I'm sure she's not telling them anything too damning. Lawrence's head snapped up. Like what? He demanded. Granby blinked in surprise. Lord, I don't know. I only meant she wouldn't say anything that might compromise your authority. Why, whatever are you implying? Lawrence said, staring at him in horror. Surely Granby didn't know. Nothing specifically. I was only speaking generally, Granby said slowly, now staring at Lawrence in turn. Why, what are you thinking of? Lawrence was by now beginning to realize he may have overreacted. Nothing. Bray, forget it, he muttered into his wine glass. He felt heat creeping into his cheeks and hastily sought to occupy himself with his cards. After a few moments of silence, Lawrence risked a look at Granby and immediately regretted it. Granby was sitting back in his chair and contemplating him with an expression that had shifted from confusion to a slightly alarmed, open delight. Lawrence snapped his gaze back to his wine glass, face burning, and vaguely considered attempting to drown himself in it. "I believe it's your hand, John," he said firmly, determined to ignore him. "This is my favorite conversation we've ever had." Lawrence felt his dignity was sufficiently compromised by this point to indulge in throwing Granby a very dirty look. Unfortunately, he suspected the effect was rather undercut by the fact that his face was still bright red. He gave it up, and only prayed Granby would let the point drop. To his credit, Granby was at last beginning to look sympathetic, if still altogether too pleased for Lawrence's comfort, and graciously allowed himself to be drawn back into the game when Lawrence made another feeble attempt to revive it. The conversation soon moved on, and if Granby's grin did not entirely disappear for the rest of the evening, Lawrence was grateful enough to overlook it. You enjoyed this podfic. If you liked the fic, be sure to leave a comment or like for Henry II Official on Tumblr. And this is my first experiment in podfic, so if you have any concrete for me, I would love to hear it. It's goddamn shiny rock, also at Tumblr. Thank you so much for listening.